Now let's consider some basic results from the economics of offshoring. You'll see the word offshoring and you'll also see the word outsourcing. They're pretty similar. Wikipedia defines offshoring as, quote, the relocation by a company of a business process from one country to another. Sometimes it's called offshoring when that's within a single multinational firm, and outsourcing when you're trading with a foreign company, but don't expect to see these terms used very consistently. A famous example is call centers in India and the Philippines. If you need, say, help setting up your computer software, you make a phone call to a country outside the United States. Doing programming or also web design, those are areas where offshoring and outsourcing are common. The economics of offshoring involve several different elements, including foreign direct investment, comparative advantage, the Heckscher-Ohlin theorem, the unbundling of the supply chain, and possibly factor price equalization. We have separate videos on all of these. I'm not going to cover them again, but just keep in mind, each is very relevant to understanding offshoring. And if I had to say there's a single relevant point here, it's simply that offshoring represents another way of capturing international gains from trade. So what is it we know about offshoring? Well, we know global output goes up. We know that wages tend to go up in the poorer country. Returns to capital tend to go up in the wealthier country. In the wealthier country, consumer goods prices will fall because goods and services are cheaper, and also complementary jobs are created by offshoring. For instance, imagine you call up a foreign country to get help with your Apple product. That means you're more likely to buy Apple products, and that will create jobs in the United States selling Apple products to consumers. So what is it we don't know about offshoring? One question is whether wages will go up or down in the wealthier country, and of course this depends on which wages. It's an immediate intuition of many people that wages in the wealthier country must be going down, but that doesn't have to be true. First of all, offshoring gives you cheaper goods and services, and that tends to raise real wages. It's also the case that offshoring creates a lot of complementary jobs. If you can work, say, at a distance with people in India, you may have a better job and you may end up being paid more rather than less. To make it all more complicated, the conclusions you'll find in papers on offshoring may depend on when the paper was published. So if you read papers from the 1990s, they tend to be very positive about the wage effects of offshoring in the wealthier country. Papers through about 2006 or so, they're mostly positive on those wage effects, but they're beginning to be more skeptical. After 2006, we find many of the papers become more negative on the real wage effects in the wealthier countries. Now, you might think the later papers are in some sense always better, and maybe that's so, but keep in mind it could also be argued that these later data points are maybe in some sense outliers. But over time, on the question of real wage effects in the wealthier countries, there seems to have been an ongoing shift of opinion. What I find striking as the data is a marked shift in relative wages, and here's a graph of the relative wage of non-production to production workers. Think of the non-production workers, broadly speaking, as managers, and the production workers as people sitting in offices or cubicles or factories doing things. You can see here that starting right before the 1990s, the relative wage of managers relative to production workers is going up markedly. Now, increased offshoring is hardly the only reason for this change, but it does seem to be one reason. That picture, by the way, is taken from a very good survey piece by Robert Feenstra, cited here. In any case, we can tell a simple story about how greater offshoring will change the structure of relative wages. And that simple story will start with the onset of more and better information technology. Better information technology very much extends the reach of managers and makes it possible for them to manage more people from a distance and to manage people more effectively, even if a factory or plant is in some other country. Because of information technology, we can gather more data, we can analyze the data better, we're connected with the internet, and also we have cell phones. If there's a problem in one of your factories overseas, well, today it's possible to just give them a call. In any case, this greater reach means that the manager becomes more productive, and that's going to mean that the manager will earn more because there's this greater span of control. Yet at the same time, the relatively unskilled worker in the rich country faces more competition because now that worker is competing with unskilled workers in China, India, and other countries. So the same technological development, information technology, is causing here the income distribution to become more unequal. Managers will do quite well, owners of capital and owners of intellectual property will do quite well, and in general it may be the case that inequality goes up in both the rich and the poor country, which is in fact what we observe, yet at the same time global inequality is going down because people in poorer countries are now earning more relative to what people in the wealthier countries at the unskilled level had been earning. Looking at offshoring in this way also has directed the attention of researchers to what is sometimes called tasks or trade in tasks or the idea of quality ladders. You may recall that some of the older international trade theories, they're defined in terms of sectors. You make cars, you sell bananas, whatever. But the new way of thinking about the problem is trade is fundamentally in tasks. Any production process involves a lot of different tasks, and the wealthier countries will tend to specialize in the more difficult tasks, and that means high rewards to their skilled labor, and the poorer countries tend to specialize in the tasks which require less expertise. So, if we reconceptualize international trade as between high-skilled tasks and low-skilled tasks, rather than, say, different sectors where you're trading cars for bananas, this allows us to partially resurrect a Heckscher-Ohlin approach where we can think of the wealthier countries as having superior endowments for the high-skill tasks and the poorer countries as having superior endowments for the low-skilled tasks. Some commentators have wondered whether offshoring is the new way in which we're taking some of our productivity gains. For instance, if you look at the years 2001 to 2004, you will find in those years that measured productivity is relatively high, yet wage gains in the United States were lacking. What's going on? Well, one hypothesis put forward by Michael Mandel is that the way we increased productivity was by offshoring. We did things overseas for cheaper. That is a kind of productivity gain for American firms, but it's not a productivity gain which is going to rebound to the benefit of American workers. In fact, it may lower their returns. Another question of relevance which remains underexplored is offshoring versus automation. So if no offshoring takes place, the alternative is not that things stay the way they were. It may be that if those workers are being paid high wages, automation will come along instead, and there still can be downward pressure on those wages. So in that sense, the net effect of offshoring on real wages may be weaker in the wealthier countries than sometimes it appears. Offshoring is a complex topic, and I've already referenced the other videos we've done which are of direct relevance. To read more directly on offshoring, I would recommend starting with these pieces listed here. They are all available online, and of course you can use Google to track down the relevant terms discussed in this video.